So everybody, a warm welcome to Reverend Britt Hall.
Thank you. Good morning. How you doing?
Great.
Happy tax day. I'm kidding. There it is. Yeah, we know that because April 15th is on a Sunday this year, we have till Tuesday. So if you haven't started your taxes, don't run screaming for the door. You probably can't be in a better place than right here, right now, to be all loved up and prayed up to get ready for the process. Is there anyone who hasn't done their taxes yet? Little admitted. Hallelujah. Antonio, where are you? Are you backstage?
Yes, he is.
Let him do his thing. I didn't know if he was sitting out here somewhere back. It's just so good to have you back home. It's always good to have you back home. We miss you. But I'm really proud of you for the amazing life that you've created for yourself down in my old home state of Florida. And did you bring this wacky weather here with you? What do we call this? Sprinter? Wing? I don't know. I did a wedding yesterday in Brooklyn in the Botanic Garden. It was so beautiful. And you know, what happens this time of year when the weather, you know, all of a sudden there's that nice day that happens in the spring. And everybody comes out of their house. Everybody and their pets come out of the house. And all of a sudden, New York City's like an ant bed of people. So there were a gazillion people there. And it was, you know, I don't know if you experienced it, but it's kind of a shock to the system when all of a sudden it's like 30 degrees warmer. And then in a matter of minutes, I swear, 20 degrees colder. I was sweating going, oh God, this is an outdoor wedding. And it's only like 70 degrees. And we were all freezing by the time it was done. But anyway, hi. Just go with me. I mean, it's just a stream of consciousness today. How about that? But Antonio, you are amazing, and we love you. And speaking of amazing, if you were here last week, you witnessed something pretty amazing at the end of the service. Were you here?
Yeah.
When Sean did, what do we call that? It's the wish list auction. The items that we had remaining on our wish list needs. We already had a really successful time at the annual membership meeting. And Sean said, you know what, when I'm there on April 8th, we'll finish this up. And he did. And you all stepped up. And I was blown away. I'm still blown away by that energy of giving and receiving that happens here when we all come together, when we get together on a Sunday. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was totally, totally amazing. That was such a powerful example to me of what is possible. We live in this infinite realm of possibility, infinite possibility, and that was so powerful. And it was so funny. I had somebody after the service last week telling me about their wish list for their new apartment and their needs. I'm like, well, you just go pray on up and work that out. Because they were going, can we do that on Sunday for me? Yes, we're doing it right now, this very minute. But many of you know that this is the year that Sean and Carlos and I are doing the parables of Jesus. Nobody ran for the door. Good. And what happened last Sunday reminds me of the parable of the importunate friend. And a lot of parables have different names. This is also known as the persistent friend. Are any of you familiar with it?
No.
Okay, well, this is for both of you. I'm going to read you the parable because it's really short. It's a really super short parable. And it's found in Luke 11, verses 5 to 8. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. The one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, there's something you have to know about the time and the place that this parable was written. And parables can sometimes seem to be almost like riddles. Like, what did that mean? Or what did that mean? Back in the time when this was written, hospitality was a really big deal. Even when a stranger knocked on your door at night, you were expected to invite him in, to feed him. Can you imagine that these days, or in New York City? But what this did is it allowed people to travel very cheaply with relative safety. So in this particular parable, the imperative is even stronger because this wasn't a stranger, it was a friend. It says a friend showed up. And there was no food in the house, so it was an even bigger deal because he had to show him hospitality. And this is what created this sense of urgency with this man coming to the neighbor. Now, when I think of urgency, how many actors do we have out here? Okay, so what's one of the things that makes a scene interesting that you have to have in any acting scene? Well, urgency, objective, an intention, an objective. And it creates a sense of urgency. Otherwise, it's like, I don't know why I didn't like that, but I was bored to death with it. Yeah, there's got to be some kind of sense of urgency. So if this guy doesn't get bread for his friend after his travels, it would result in public humiliation and disgrace. So he couldn't take no for an answer. And that's what this parable is all about. And you have to also understand, this parable it immediately follows in the book of Luke, it immediately follows the Lord's Prayer. So effectively, it's really about our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. That's what it's connected to. And also, as a rule in biblical days, the woman of the house would make enough bread for that day. And in this case, the family happened to eat all of the bread, scraps and everything. And the need for more bread to feed another friend who just returned from a long and arduous trip was the point of the story. So, okay, let's look at it this way. Let's give these guys names. Let's call them. Albert is the guy in the house who was woken up, and his neighbor, his persistent, importunate neighbor is Bill. Albert and Bill. So Albert and his family are in bed. And as strong as his friendship with neighbor Bill is, it isn't strong enough for him to wake up his entire family. But Bill's boldness is what is tipping the scales in the parable. The Greek word that is the basis for this is the noun aneidea. Where's Jean Ann? Aneidea. Is that how'd I do?
I don't know.
You know, yeah? Okay. Aneidea. What aneidea means is persistence. The persistent friend. Persistence. It also literally means shamelessness. So the point of the parable, of course, is the importance of the persistence and of never, ever giving up. But Jesus' expression in this story, because of the man's shamelessness, it's kind of a powerful, remarkable thing. Now, Bill, the friend, has no sense of decency of waiting until morning, of not disturbing his sleeping neighbor, Albert. So he shamelessly keeps knocking on the door until Albert gets out of bed, and he shoves bread at him just to shut him up and get him away from the house. Shameless, rash, bold, chutzpah. And that's what this particular parable illustrates. And remember, there was a reason that he couldn't take no for an answer. He had to get that bread. So how does this apply to us? And how does it apply to us today? Well, this is, again, this followed the Lord's Prayer. So it's really about prayer, that we are encouraged with boldness to ask, to seek, to knock on the door. To knock on the door of our heart's desires and to practice the very same perseverance, even though the answer to our prayer may seem to be delayed. It's about the perseverance and to continue to ask and to seek and to knock, and not to pray in a whisper or a whine, but with boldness, with brashness. See, and when you interpret, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's an acknowledgement that all of our needs are already supplied in the inner kingdom. And through faith in the reality of this inner kingdom, this is where we gain our understanding. And we rise in this understanding, we rise above uncertainty and above doubt. And daily bread, what is our daily bread? Our wants, our desires, physical, mental, spiritual. And when we pray for daily bread, it's in full faith and full confidence that all of our needs are already supplied in the invisible realm. Last week we had a number of items on a list. And Sean, being my good friend who I love and adore, who is bold and brash and shameless, that's who he is. I love it. It wasn't that he wasn't taking no for an answer. He was clear. He was just very clear. And because it's all energy, people signed on for that clarity. And it was, the outcome was just absolutely mind-blowing. So I want to tell you that I woke up this morning, I was thinking about what happened last week, and then I was thinking about this parable, because it's the one that reminded me of what happened last week. And then I woke up this morning, and I had one of those divine pulls to pull, to speak about something completely different than what I had planned to speak about. Because God can be funny in that way. And such a kidder. So I'm not really sure how this ties together, but it wouldn't leave me. So I also want to share this with you. And I've been traveling a little bit lately. Kathy mentioned that now I'm blessed to be a part of the field licensing program, the Unity Worldwide Institute. And when I was on my way back from Unity Village in March, there was this woman on the plane. And I don't know, she was like the Pollyanna of the air. She got on late, she was all flustered, but she was sweet. And I was probably drawn to her because she sounded so much like Rosina. A lot of you know Rosina, and Rosina and I are very close. And she was just all bubbly, and her energy literally shifted this flight. It changed the flight. So when she had this huge bag, and she got all the way down to where I was, she said, she was making friends along the way. She said, "Oh, honey, you're big, you're strong. Please, can you put my thing up there? Because it's so heavy for me, I can't do it." I couldn't wait to help her. It was just her energy, this energy that she was putting out. She was so sweet to all the flight attendants. And I'm just noticing all of the energy shifting on this airplane because of this woman. Going, wow, what a cool lesson. We have that impact on people. Because, you know, the opposite is also true. When we bring our cranky in, that spreads also. But it was like her behavior was giving everybody this unspoken permission to just be happy. All these strangers coming together on this flight. And I never did officially meet her, but she sat right behind me. And there was a young woman sitting in the seat next to her. And I could tell that this young woman was either very shy or reserved or private or something. But she just kept talking and talking. And I couldn't stop overhearing it because her voice projected and it was very bubbly and very infectious. And they were new best friends by the end of that flight. And what this was reminding me of, you know, the 100th monkey, the you know, not the concept of it, but the book by Ken Keyes that was also written as a parable. So much about the impact that we have to affect positive change on human society. It's a great read. But there we were, just happier flight of people who didn't know each other, crop dusting joy across the country. Here we are, you know, in this energetic, this flight, just spreading the energy of love, of joy. I'm really not sure why I'm talking so much about airplanes. I did it last time. I was speaking about airplanes last time. And here's something that I also found very interesting about this. When the flight landed and we got on the plane, and this is when I really saw her, because of course I had to help her get her thing down. It was a big old bag that broke, because her luggage was like 20 pounds overweight, so they made her put it in a bag, and then the bag broke, and that's where she's like, oh, you're big and strong, help me, thank you, you're so sweet. So, anyway, when we got off the plane, I saw that she was a very large woman, and she was challenged. And she was challenged as far as walking. It was a struggle. I could tell it was a struggle. She just kept shining her light. And I thought, wow, what? This is like, this chick is one illustration after another. The power of just being joyful. Simply being joyful and simply walking through. So I'm continuing on my airplane theme, and this is what was coming this morning. Sean talked last week about we had just come back from Edwin's minister retreat in Alabama, you know, the one where we walked on fire. And I'm not going to go into that again. You can listen to his talk on the website. But my flight back was really, really early on a Friday morning. I had to leave the mountain with my rental car at about 3 a.m. to get the rental car back and get on the flight. All I wanted to do was get to that plane and go to sleep. And I knew the flight was overbooked. And I sat down and no one was sitting in the seat next to me. And I was in the exit row. I'm like, God, I have a double extra room. This is fabulous. And right when they were about to close the boarding doors, this woman came in, and what turned out to be her husband, she came in, and that was her seat. I said, well, okay, that's all right. I still have my space. Well, she was another bubbly one. She was friendly, she was sweet. And I went, God, I so want to sleep, but I'm just loving this woman. And I don't really specifically remember and recall how we got on the subject, but before I knew it, she knew that I was a minister, and she knew that it was at Unity. And when I said that, she went, Unity! Daily Word? I know Daily Word. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever told someone about Unity, and they're like, oh, is that Unitarian?
Yes, sir.
Or maybe they just say, oh. But not Valerie Yvette Green of Atlanta, Georgia. She knew all about Daily Word and Unity. And I knew at that point I would not be taking my nap that I so wanted on the plane. And once we said Unity in Daily Words, she was off and talking about Jesus and the miracles of Jesus and loving people and doing good in the world. And all I want to do is love. I'm just here to love people. I love people. I just love people. And you're lovely. Love, love, love. Yezabeth here today from Atlanta. She said she would stop by when she's in the city. Stranger things have happened. A couple of years ago, I was talking about a woman. Oh my God, again, a flight attendant. I don't know what this is about. I'll have to go to therapy about this. But I was literally telling a story a couple of years ago. Some of you might have been here and you might remember. I was telling about this woman, and she was at the service. It's her one and only time that she was here. I had met her parents at a B&B in North Carolina, and she was here. So anyway, I thought Yvette might be here with us today. Anyway, the point of all of this is how powerful we are, how we make a difference. We make a difference wherever we are. Both of these women, in different incidents, literally shifted the energy in those planes, on those flights. And every seat was filled on both flights. And here I am, woken up thinking about this morning, thinking about, I'm supposed to share this. And I'm not sure why, and I'm kind of, anyway. Here's the deal. I was so inspired by them. And if just one of you here today is inspired by this, we continue taking that energy forward. That's what we're here to do. Do any of you listen to the Oprah and Deepak meditations? They're so powerful, aren't they? They're just really great. And the last one I was on releasing, shedding the weight. Not just the physical, but the mental, the emotional, the whatever weight we're carrying around. But knowing that, I think it was one of the last meditations where Oprah said, you know, we may not hear about this on the evening news, but I believe that all of us, all over the place, doing this 21 days of meditation together changes the world. It shifts things. We may not know it right away, like we do in the plane when there's this bubbly person that you know is changing things, but it is changing. And we're always doing that. We're the ripples in the pond of the world. And we go out beyond what we could ever know. So today really is about really knowing that power. We talk about it, we read about it, we hear about it, we meditate about it. But do we know it? Do we really know it? Do you really know how powerful you are? Do you really, really, really get it? The change that you can make, the impact that you can have. I'm going to invite you to really do something conscious this week to find out. Do an experiment. Just shine your light. Just go shine your light. Be your light. Maybe think as you're walking down the street or on the train or wherever you are, the joy in me sees the joy in you. The joy in me sees the joy in you. Say that with me. The joy in me sees the joy in you. That was so lame. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the joy in me sees the joy in you. That was still a little bit wussy. Turn to another neighbor. Okay, now let's amp it up and say, the Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. The Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. Tell that to somebody. The Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. even more energy in that. The energy is already shifting. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? The Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. As Deepak would say, namaste. That's what you're saying. That sums it up. The Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. So find your own personal way of experimenting this week. Years ago, I would do that on the subway train. I would get in the car and just very silently, without drawing attention to myself, do that. The Christ in me sees the Christ in you. The Christ in me sees the Christ in you. If you've never done it, I dare you. It's freaky, amazing, and fabulous, because it is such a powerful and simple and easy reminder of the power that we have to change the world from where we are. We keep getting so much bombardment from the outer, and life is lived from the inside out, and we know that. So let's live it. Let's live it.